Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
I tell you, little buddy, this whole island is bewitched.
Remember, we were shipwrecked together. Stranded, I'm home.
Stranded, yeah, I'm home. Welcome to this bonus episode of Sound Opinions. I am Greg Kot. My co-host is Jim DeRogatis. And if you want to be the first to hear our bonus podcasts, become a Sound Opinions member on Patreon like Michael Arvin. Michael, thank you so much for your support. Jim, we've got loads and loads of tracks that we want to bring to the desert island, and you've got one for us today. Give us a hint of what you're going to play for us.
Well, Greg, I have always been fascinated by Cuban culture, Cuban food, Cuban music, the Cuban people. You know, I grew up in Hudson County, New Jersey, Union City, after Miami, was the second center of the diaspora from the Cuban boat lift, the people who escaped Cuba when Castro took over. So I've always been steeped in Cuba, and I'm going to play, I think, the best rock song ever about Cuba for one great reason and one rather sad reason.
Can't wait to hear it, Jim.
Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island. Since 1988, Goose Island's been brewing beers in the spirit of Chicago.
You can find IPAs, lemonade, shandy, and limited releases in-store or at one of Goose's venues in Chicago. Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago's beer. Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island. Since 1988, Goose Island has been brewing award-winning beers in Chicago that are inspired by this city. Take 312 Lemonade Shandy, Tropical Beer Hug Double IPA, and a rotating series of hazy IPAs only available in Chicago. You know, every time we go down to Goose Island, there's another one that they're pushing on us.
That's right.
They're all good.
Absolutely. And what supporters of musical culture, you know, in the city of Chicago and elsewhere, if you go to a show in Chicago and you see that Goose Island sign, you know you're in good hands. They're music fans as well as great beer makers at Goose Island, so we're really proud to be associated with them.
The Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago's beer.
All right, Jim, you have intrigued us with your DIJ hint.
Yes.
Let us know what you're going to play.
I'm going to play Sister Havana by Urge Overkill. I went back. How is it that in 7,893 or 918 episodes, we've never talked much or played much Urge Overkill, one of the key bands in the 90s alt-rock explosion,
yeah,
when the major label music industry, may it not rest in peace, decided that after Seattle, Chicago was going to be the center of the music world.
Mm-hmm.
And we got Smashing Pumpkins, and of course we got Liz Phair, lots of celebrating of the 30th anniversary
anniversary of Exile in Guyville. Nobody really celebrates Urge Overkill's masterpiece, Saturation, although they should, and I think that a reassessment is underway. A fantastic piece written recently by Lindsay Parker, good friend of mine, great music writer, editor-in-chief of Yahoo Music, where she argues that that was the best album, Saturation, of the 90s alt-rock era. All right, Lindsay, I won't quite go that far, but I love that record then. I continue to love it today. Her argument was in part that it was ahead of its time in its postmodern snarkiness and satirization of certain elements of culture. You know, the Playboy Mansion, Ascot cocktail drinking. Those guys were like the illegitimate children of Hugh Hefner.
Well, people who weren't there probably forget or don't know that that was an era where a lot of bands were taking themselves very seriously. There was
seriously
a lot of furrowed brows out there. Like, you're selling out, man. You can't do that. That's against the rules.
Despite all my rage, I am still just a rat in a cage, you know? Billy Corgan is singing, right? Urge Overkill was having none of that. They were having fun, right?
Yeah.
They had made three recordings produced by and released by Steve Albini, mega producer of the 90s, would go on, of course, to do In Utero by Nirvana. And then they split with him in a very dramatic way and made Saturation. They got signed to Geffen Records, right? Mm-hmm. They had toured with Nirvana. Nirvana loved them. And they were writing this record while they were on the road. And loved them, I say, I'm not even sure if it was so much the music, but it was these guys were fun, right? Mm-hmm. They were a tiki bar come to life, full of cliches. But the blowback from the indie rock world was intense. You know, they had left Touch and Go and cashed out and gone to Geffen for big bucks. And they were slick. And maybe they didn't even play on their own record. And then there were these two anti-fans who stalked them around Chicago, making fun of them mercilessly, dressed like them. Oh, my God. It was just such a silly time. The record comes out, and you and I did in 93, what we were supposed to do. We reviewed the record. Mm-hmm. We wrote some about all the silliness, but mainly we listened to the music, and the music was undeniable. You know, they had gone to a couple of hip-hop producers and really got this kind of crunchy, modern, groovy, soul-funk sound. You know, it was as if, like, Parliament Funkadelic in its heyday had recorded with Rick Rubin, mm-hmm. right? I mean, it was a great-sounding record. How much they played on it, how much they didn't, I don't know. I was thinking about it for two reasons. Number one, Lindsay's wonderful piece. And number two, we lost the drummer on that record, John Rowan, who performed as Blackie Onassis just a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And no cause of death, but there were drug problems that were chronicled on the follow-up to Saturation, Exit the Dragon, a much darker record. And then that was it for Urge's major label career. You know, mm-hmm. they had these two moments in the sun. They'd go 15 more years without doing anything else. Been a couple of indie records since. If ever there was a band, though, that had one moment, it was that moment, Saturation. And the moment of the moment is Sister Havana, right? They're going to Cuba. They're falling in love with a beautiful Cuban woman. They're saying, you know, hey, come around to my way of thinking. America's where it's at. Maybe they're trying to get her to convince to assassinate Fidel Castro, as the CIA tried many times. You ever read about that? They tried to give him an exploding cigar. They tried to, you know, the CIA plots to kill the communist dictator of Cuba. Touchy stuff. Urge Overkill was spending major label money with a joy I've never seen. I know that you remember this, right? Geffen Records coming to town. The record's coming out. You and me both have advances. And so we get to spend day with Urge Overkill, right? They had this place, a former bank building in Humboldt Park, and they had made it like Playboy Mansion alt era 90s. And I remember going with the publicist, and they bought like six bottles of Dom Perignon, right? They're all on the major label money, right? You know, and they wanted to go to Cuba to film this video. The video is as brilliant as the song. And Geffen said, okay, we have some limits. Instead, they spent $1 billion in the Little Havana neighborhood of Miami. They're riding around in vintage convertibles. You know, they're chasing the woman of their dreams, the aforementioned Sister Havana. They're having a grand old time. You know, John Rowan, Black Ionesis' drumming is great. Whoever played the bass and the guitar, I mean, it was Serge Overkill singing, no doubt about that, probably auto-tuned and cleaned up. But man, what a great record. And every song on that record is just as celebratory. In homage to the late lamented Serge Overkill, Sister Havana.
Every day just like a vacation with you. When I'm watching you and Fidel Castro in the sand, just saying, girl, you got to roll. So stop that overflow. So stop that.
Sister Havana by Serge Overkill. Don't you think that stands up?
Oh, yeah. No, I actually flew out to Philly as they were finishing that record, and I listened to it as they were wrapping it up, and, you know, we were just kind of laughing at, like, the ridiculously brilliant, bold sound that they got out of this record.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like, wink, wink, you know, there's been some studio craftsmanship going on here that we didn't have access to in previous incarnation. And Blackie, it should be said, was live. I thought they were a great band.
They were.
Blackie was really, really good drummer. And, you know, made that band. When he entered the band, Urge took a leap forward in terms of their ability to make a record, to get invited to a studio to even make a record like this. So I have no qualms about that. And they were all really fun guys. They ran up the biggest bar bill I ever submitted to the Tribune for an expense account payment because
we didn't have such luxuries at the Sun Times.
And I think they rang up without any consuming any food. There was like a $300 bar bill.
They were living large.
And my editor was like, gulp, what the hell are they? Who are these people?
Look,
I said, they're Serge Overkill.
I wouldn't advise any woman ever to date an Serge Overkill, okay? But from a distance, they were great, great fun.
Yeah, they were. And then Blackie wrote that, you know, really dark song on Exit the Dragon, that the Mistake song, right?
Yeah.
Which would kind of hint the Mistake, which hinted at a lot of the issues that, you know, he was personally going through. And I just felt bad for the guy. I mean, he was, you know, again, it's very, you know, hazy about the circumstances of his death. But I mourn him as a person that was just a lot of fun to be around. It seemed like a good guy to me. You know? And a great band, as you said, in that era.
Well, and trust us, go back and listen to Saturation and see if we're wrong. Where, as always, we will welcome any disagreement with us, and we'll air you on the show. Leave us a message on our voicemail, soundopinions.org.
Absolutely. And as always, Sound Opinions is produced by Andrew Gill, Alex Claiborne, and our associate producer, Sol Delgadillo. Our social media consultant is Katie Cott. Thanks, as always, for listening.